assemble together in a fashion like this to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you, and I'm thankful to be with you this morning, and I especially want to say how good it is to have our visitors with us. It's good to be together and to be with those who come on a regular basis, but we certainly love having visitors with us, and we thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. It's good to see those that have been sick and unable to be with us to be back out and with us once again. I encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow on with me. Make sure that what I'm saying is right. Religious truth is not settled by what I think about it or what I say. I'm not the standard, and neither are you, neither is it no man, but Jesus has all power or authority, Matthew 28:18, and God speaks to us today by His Son, Hebrews 1:1, and that's accomplished by the written Word. And so it's important that you take your Bible out and follow along with me. Make sure that what you're hearing is right. I put the title of the lesson on the board, Where You Stand is Important. I've heard the statement before that if you don't take a stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Have you heard that before? It matters where we stand, but we need to make sure that where we're standing is where God would have us to stand, and not what where man would have us to stand, what our culture would have us to be doing, thinking, or believing, but what God says about it. So I just want us to think about some places of which we need to think about where we stand. And the first one I want you to think about is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, begin with verse 1. Paul talks to the Christians at Corinth, and he begins this chapter by saying, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. Now watch it. And wherein you stand. By which also, that is by the gospel, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. We've talked time and time again about the gospel being the power of God unto salvation, Paul stated in Romans 1:16. And Paul tells these Christians, I preached unto you the gospel, you stand in it, you're saved by it, if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 13, Paul stated, Watch you, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, that means act like men, grow up, be strong. And so it matters where we stand, we need to stand in the gospel. A lot of places today no longer teach the gospel of Christ. All they teach and they preach, but it's about a lot of other things except the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul said, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I've stated before and I'll state it again with no hesitation, if I cannot put my finger in it, I have no business preaching it. You agree with that? We need to strive to have book, chapter, verse for everything that we say. Preach nothing more, nothing less than the gospel of Christ. In Galatians 5:2, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Not be again entangled with the yoke of bondage. And so we need to preach the gospel and stand in the gospel in all things. But also as we think about where you stand is important. I want us to think about standing engaged and involved. Come with me to the book of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew has a lot of parables that the Lord put forth. A parable is something that runs parallel. It's an earthly story or example that's meant to give a spiritual application or a heavenly meaning. It's cast alongside of is what parable actually means. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. You can continue that reading and study of this teaching that the Lord put forth. But I want to suggest to you that we need not stand idle. We need to be busy, engaged in the Lord's work. It's interesting in the book of Acts. The disposition, the character of the first century disciples and apostles. They were busy about doing the Lord's work, even under persecution and opposition. They were threatened and imprisoned, beaten. Paul has a lot to say about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11 as he catalogs a lot of things that he suffered for the cause of Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 5, begin with verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. That ever happened to you? I suspect not. Hasn't to me either. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. I suppose the apostles just had the disposition, we've had enough of this. We're not going to do that. We're done. Is that what happened? Read the next verse. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They were busy about doing the Lord's work. Not idle, even though they were threatened, they were persecuted, imprisoned, beaten. Like Acts 5:42, they continued steadfastly to do those things. Daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Christ Jesus. What about us today? Do we stand idle while the work of the Lord goes on? I suggest to you that if all of us did that, the work here would stop. We're not about to let that happen, right? You may say, well, that's someone else's work. Well, the work may continue, though you said idle, but I want to suggest to you that we'll never be pleasing to the Lord on an individual basis if we sit idly by. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3, there were some leprous men who the Bible says sat at the gate. You know what they said? Why sat we here till we die? Now, you can read and study the context of that, but that's an interesting statement. Especially if you want to make application of it, there's a lot of people today who just want to come and sit here till we die. They're just content to come and sit down and do nothing else. Am I talking to you? Am I talking to me? Let's not have that disposition that would say it's enough just to show up and sit down. I'm glad you're here. And I know that there's a lot of folks who are sick, and it's a lot to just come and to be able to do that. But I'm suggesting to all of us, beginning with me, that Christianity is not tied up just in showing up at the building. Why sit we here till we die? Let's be busy about the Lord's work. Are we standing involved in the Lord's work? Or have we distanced ourselves from the work that needs to be done? There's a lot of work going on. We're getting ready to have a gospel meeting in June. Another annual singing that we purposed 2 years ago to start. We've had two of those. Got to get busy as we prepare for that word. But also in Matthew chapter 12, as we think about where you stand, where I stand, and we examine ourselves and take inventory of our own life. In Matthew 12 and in verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now they had accused the Lord of casting out devils by the prince of the devils. And Jesus said that won't work, because every house divided against itself won't stand. A kingdom divided against itself will not stand. Are we standing in unity, or are we divided against one another? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, you know, all through the Bible we see the importance of unity, don't we? Unity doesn't happen just by accident. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the Apostle Paul, penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast, where, Paul? In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Kind of like in Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Or 1 Corinthians 1:10, having no division among you, but speaking the same thing, having the same judgment, being perfectly joined together. He talks about 1 Corinthians 1:10. Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in, you know the rest of that, in unity. Again, it's not accidental. It's no doubt one of the reasons why that word endeavoring is used, or the word striving is used. You see, it won't work if I get up and preach one thing, and then next week, Ray gets up and preaches something contrary to that, and then the next week, another brother gets up and preaches contrary to that. That's not unity, that's division. And God says, don't be divided. Speak the same thing. And so we're all to believe and practice the same thing. I ask you, is that possible? Is it possible that we can believe, teach, and practice the very same things? It is if we go by the same rule. If we go by the same standard, which is the Word of God, to do all things according to that standard. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17. In Philippians 3:16, another verse for that. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And so it's possible, and not only is it possible, but it's expected by God that we walk by the same rule. Where do we stand this morning? But also, when you come to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, very simple, nothing at all difficult about anything we've talked about. Ephesians 6 and in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he talks about the armor in the verses following that. They may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. A lot of folks are not standing against the wiles of the devil. So many folks today are having fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. You know what the Bible says about that? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, wherefore have you no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Got to be equipped to do that. Be a good soldier of the cross as we stand against the wiles of the devil. How about you this morning? As you think about your life, are there areas in your life of which, rather than reproving the unfruitful works of darkness and abstaining from those things, you've been engaging in them? Oh, it's not going to hurt just one or two times. God's a forgiving God. I'll do it and then ask God to forgive me. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 talks about willful sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Yes, God is forgiving. God is merciful, full of compassion, long-suffering. But He expects us to abstain from every form or appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 22. One more point. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, and in verse 10, where Brady did a good job in the scripture reading this morning, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set in off thy brother? For we shall all, what's he say? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, when you read that statement, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Who do you apply that to? Who's included in that word all? Am I? You? All of us. From the first person born. In fact, the first person created. Adam and Eve. To the very last person. Stand before Him on that great judgment day. Matthew chapter 25. As He pictures that judgment scene. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. For we shall all stand again before the judgment seat of Christ. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There's a passage over in the book of Revelation chapter 20. Verses 12 through 15. He pictures that judgment scene. And John said, I saw the dead, small and great. Alright, I'm curious, John. What did you see them do? When you saw the dead, small and great, John, what did they do? Stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is a book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You're going to be there, I'm going to be there. Where you stand is important. You're going to be on the left where you'll hear those words, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, or on the right where you'll hear those words, come, you blessed of my Father. Where will you stand? Come to judgment day. If it were today, where will you stand? If you're among us having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, I encourage you to do that. This room is filled with people who would love to see you become a child of God. Do you want to become a Christian? Go on your way like the eunuch did in Acts 8, rejoicing because he had obeyed the gospel of Christ. You become a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing it, John 8, 24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Romans 10, 10, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38. When you do that, God will forgive you of everything you've ever committed. Add you to the Church of Christ that you read about on the pages of the Bible, Acts 2, 47. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, you've drifted from the Lord, not been faithful as you should, but you want to come home, you want to be restored. You need to repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.